Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this morning, we're asking the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, that we can receive the knowledge, the understanding, Father, that we need in order to walk in and with your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and 4. I know we'll be into 4, and from looking at them and all, it looks like we can get through both of them. Chapter 3 has got 13 verses and 4 has got 18. Both small chapters. All right. Here in chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. All right, Paul is letting the church know that he's alone. But we know that he had sent Timothy and all to them to help establish them and to give them comfort and all with the gospel. We don't know exactly where Paul was at, because he doesn't say. He just says at Athens. He doesn't say whereabouts or anything, and he says he's alone. All right, now, in verse 2, it says, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, our fellow labor in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. You know, I think Paul really believes that he's always going to be afflicted. That it's just been appointed unto him by God, and he ain't going to have nothing else. We know he's went through it a lot, but here he's talking about that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Well, I pray that God don't just keep me with something going all the time, but we don't never really know. Now, we can pray about it until he gives us an answer. But you know, there are times that things away from us. Now, verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And ye know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and your labor be in vain. Paul is anxious to know the spiritual condition of this assembly. Think about that. We know the tempter he's talking about is just another name for Satan. And he's worried that, and it could cause a lot of their labor to be in vain. And that's what Satan's after out of most of us. This key things we do is just be in vain. It's really of no use at all. Now, 6. But now when Timothy came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Timothy let them know that things there wasn't real bad, but that they were looking forward to seeing Paul. And that's one thing Paul had. Paul had a real deep love for the churches, and for, as he calls them, assemblies. Because back then they wasn't churches. They were assemblies. Because God's church is not a building. It's mankind. Within mankind. When they is several of us that will get together, we're the church. We call these places where we meet churches, but they are, that's what they are. They are actually a meeting place. And as the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave us a good name for these places. When he went in and cleaned out one of them, turned over the money changers' tables, and took a whip to drive them all out. And he told them that it should be called a house of prayer. And they'd made it a den of thieves. You see, we could call them houses of prayer just as easy. And anyone would, is all right. Nothing wrong with calling it a church. Nothing wrong with calling it a house of prayer or an assembly. Because that's what it is. That's like us. Look how many different titles we carry that he talks about in his word. Now, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Because of their faith. They wasn't worried about them. They were, as he called it, they were comforted. They could rejoice and all and be at ease because they knew. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. And this is, it's kind of hard, really. He says, for now we live if ye stand fast in faith. Right now to you and I, don't make a lot of sense. But it did to Paul, where he wouldn't have wrote it. 9. Thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. You know, he's using the word render there. Yeah. In other words, he has the sense of paying back something owed. And Paul repays God in the currency of thanksgiving. And we don't thank God enough.
We should.
We should, yes. In fact, we should thank him for everything we have and everything we get. But we don't always do.
Good or bad.
Yeah. Yeah, regardless.
Bad things can prevent me from doing
it. But we should give him praise and thanks for it. And we do that in Jesus' name. You don't just say, Lord, I praise you and I thank you. And let it go at that. It's, Lord, I give you praise and I thank you for this that you have let me have, and I do this in Jesus' name. Everything is to go through Jesus. And that means both ways even. What comes from God comes to you and I through Jesus. And brought to us by the Holy Spirit. We deal with all three all the time. That's why Jesus said that he was in the Father was in him, and we are in them. And they are in us. Well, don't look, really look at it like that. Think about it. That's our trouble. We don't think. Our imagination ain't too often good sometimes. Now, 10. He was talking about their 9, about their joy before our God. 10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. You see, Paul talks about that word quite a bit. And yet mankind don't even want to hear that word. And especially most of your churches. And they deny a whole lot about that word. That word perfect. They'll tell you. There is none perfect, no, not one. Only Jesus. And yet we are told in God's word several times in several different ways that we are to be perfect. He tells us, he says, be ye perfect as I am perfect. Now, he's not talking about being perfect spiritually. I mean, physically, he's talking about being perfect spiritually. His whole body goes through a lot of things. He gets into all kinds of trouble. Things happening to it and all. But that is inside, that heart, that spirit, it belongs, that is what belongs to God. This old body is going to go back in dirt. But that spirit one day is going to cross on over into eternity. And depending on how it's lived here on this earth is where it will spend eternity. Whether that will be in hell in that lake of fire or with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ directs our way unto you. He's always letting, in fact, all of these churches he writes to, he's always wanting to get back to them, to see them. And that's what he's wanting here in verse 11. 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To abound in love. Love of one another and for each other. Because you see, that's why we come together, is to be of help. And whatever help we can be, and to share the Lord's word and all with each other. 13, in the last verse of chapter 3. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And we know that's exactly what is going to happen at the end. To the end, he may establish your hearts. Then I pray that when you stand before him, that your heart will be unblameable and in holiness as you stand before God. At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what you'll be capable of being. And that is what I pray for several times a day. You all may not know it or realize it, but you're never out of my prayers. Now, we're going to go on into chapter 4. We ain't been meeting for about 20 minutes. That's just too short. That's like all of our churches out here in 13, 15-minute sermonettes. The last church I was in, when the pastor got up to speak, he said, I'm going to let you know I'm not one of these long-winded preachers. He said, my sermons are short. For one, he really didn't have a sermon. And he was right, it was short. But he never gave us anything, actually, from the Word. Chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brother, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. That word, furthermore. And I can't pronounce the Greek name of it. It's a lot shorter than furthermore. This marks a key transition in the book. And here Paul introduces his exhortation on practical living. Think about that. On practical Christian living is what he's exhorting there. And in verse 2, it says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he is appealing really to his apostle authority and speaking as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. There. And that's what we are all to be doing. If you are a child of God, you have the authority to use the name of Jesus and to work by using that name of Jesus. We have that authority. So there's no, or should be no misconception there. And I know people would probably, well, you know, he's proclaiming he's Jesus Christ. No. But I have Jesus with me, and I have the authority to use his name. And I have the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work that I am calling upon to be done. Just as that lady that came to the church that time, too sick to even get in the door. She couldn't get in the door. Lady had to go and help her in. And they made it to the back row of the church and sat down. And as I was speaking, the Spirit spoke through me and told her, said, you'll not leave here with that sickness. 5 minutes later, that sickness was gone. She got up and come up front and sat down on the front row of the church. We have to let the Holy Spirit be our guide. Now, 3. It says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Oh boy. The word sanctification, which actually means holiness. And you know, the New Testament delegates 3 kinds of holiness. Possession of holiness, progressive holiness, and perfect holiness. Oh, you can't be perfect. That ain't what the Word of God says. Now, here in verse 3, I like that. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, your holiness, that you should abstain from fornication. Well, we know fornication is sexual immorality. That's when two come together that are not married for sexual benefits. That's fornication. Now, 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Oh boy. He's telling you and I that every one of us, we are supposed to know how to take care of this body and to keep it in sanctification and honor. And you know, the only way you can control this body at all is by the Spirit. You can't do it with your mind. That mind just ain't strong enough. It takes the Spirit, because it takes that Holy Spirit to be able to control. Now, 4. Now, 5. Not in the lust circumstance, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. He's still listing all of the Gentiles as knowing not God. Well, we know at this time that they are some that do know him, and they are growing. Actually, over time, they've really outgrown most of the Jewish people. But most of Israel yet today are still trying to live by the law and keep it. We have a lot of Jewish people that have accepted Jesus, yes. But for the most part, in the land of Israel, they're still trying to live by the law and denying and rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as of yet. Now, you see, God has got a lot of people now going into Israel and sharing with them and letting them really see the love of God and to hear the gospel. And one day, Israel itself will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that's going to happen because actually the book of Revelation tells us so. So it shouldn't be no surprise to us. Now, six, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. We're not to cheat each other. That's what defraud means. That you cheat and steal from each other. And we're not to do that. And also, you know, we're not to go beyond, which means to overstep that moral law, to defraud, to take advantage of them, to rob or to cheat them in any manner. And it will also refer even to the sexual misconduct that we found in the previous verse. Think about it. Now, 7. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 8. He therefore that despises not man, but God. You heard me tell you many times I don't pay any attention to what people say about me or call me or about them getting mad at me for something I've said from the gospel, because it's not me they're mad at. They're mad at God. They just don't know. It ain't hurting me at all. They're only hurting themselves by doing it. Now, 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. That's not really being taught in a lot of our churches today. You go to most any church you'll walk into today, if it's of any size, congregation-wise, you'll find that you've got all kinds of different groups. You've got a group here, and one back here, and one over here, and one here, and one here. And they really don't have anything to do with each other. They're sitting in there together, but they really don't have anything to do with each other. Now, 10. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. We are supposed to continue to increase in the love of Almighty God toward each other. Brother to brother. Sister to sister. Now, 11. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. In other words, don't be a busybody. And then everybody else's business. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. If you really want to walk with and not actually be walking in need all the time, he's telling you here how to do it. That you walk honestly toward them that are without even. Those that are lost, that's walking out here in darkness. But you want to treat them honestly and help them all you can. And when you do that, he says that you may have lack of nothing. Because you see, that's all pleasing unto God. Everything we do for somebody else is pleasing in the eyes of God. 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. You know, those that he's talking about, those that are asleep there, which means they are dead. And because everything has already happened, is going to happen, there's nothing else we can do for them. We can't change a thing. Because you see, there was a time that a lot of would pray for the dead. No, you pray for the living, not the dead. That prayer for the dead is not going to do any good. Now, 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Those that have went on were dead to us. He's called to sleep here in Jesus. When Jesus comes back to this earth to set up his millennial reign, he's going to be bringing them back with him. They're going to come back and live on this earth another 1,000 years. How'd you like that? How'd you like to live back here another 1,000 years? I don't know about anybody but myself, and I'd love it, because I'd be that 1,000 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to prevent them. He says we can't prevent it. And we know also that when he comes for the church, those that are asleep, as he calls it, they're going to raise first. And then the ones that are alive on the earth will go to meet him in the air. But the ones that are, as we consider, dead, they're going to raise first and go to meet him first. 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall raise first. Hmm. 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You see, we're gonna go to meet him second. Those that are alive, going to meet him second. For those that are dead, as we call it, the Bible calls asleep in him, they're going to go meet him first. And hear this last short verse. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Share these words. What words? 16 and 17. And comfort each other with them words. That's what he's told us to do. But you don't hear that talk very much, do you? All right. We're going to stop here now for this morning. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for these times that we can come together to share your word. with love, with peace, and with joy. And Father, we ask you as we prepare to separate for the day to keep us in health, to keep us safe. Watch over us through the day and keep us walking on the pathway of righteousness. Don't let us stumble nor do anything that is not pleasing to thy sight. Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem for peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah, that one day Israel will be known as the land for peace and for Jesus. Now, Father, this land of ours has turned it back, walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ, rejecting him, taking him out of every place he was in, wanting to hear nothing of his name, not even to use it in prayer. Doing everything they can do, Father, to go against your word. But Father, we know better. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for sending to us the Holy Spirit to give us the guidance that we needed. And we ask you, Father, now help us to remove from office those that are in our government that has brought this evil upon our land, and to replace them, Father, with ones that will work with us and for us, and for you especially, and to help us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation of which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for our families, all of us, each one of us, Father. We have family members that are not saved. They're walking in darkness. Father, I ask the Holy Spirit to work with them, to talk with them, to help them to realize, bring to their mind, that they are in need of something far greater than themselves, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, and that they will go to him and repent, Father, and start upon that pathway of righteousness, growing in and getting into your word, finding them a church that is teaching the truth of the gospel, so that none be lost, Father, and that our families all can make heaven their home. Now, Father, as I asked earlier, be with us throughout this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Yeah, I'm going to shut it down.